closer.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is our weekly regular episode that comes out on Saturdays on all your favorite platforms, including YouTube. And I think you would enjoy the YouTube show because Dustin actually turns it into a cool little TV show that you can watch right on your phone or your iPad, or you could download and watch it on your TV. I don't know. However you watch it or listen, welcome and thank you for being with us. I want to thank our guest from Radio Labyrinth Presents, which is out now. If you haven't had a chance, we spent about a half hour talking to Joe Perry, who has been on our show before. Season 3 of Joe Perry Talks With You, right?
Yeah.
It comes out on November 7th. That is a big night for Adult Swim fans, because not only does Joe Perry Talks With You come out, but also Squidbillies returns for its final season. So thank you to Joe. We had a really good time talking to him about Chairs and shooting season 3 in Michigan, and I think you'll enjoy it. Don't forget that next weekend, Jeff and I and Dustin will be in Rome, Georgia at the Thornton Recreation Center. It's CusaCon, and that features a bunch of our friends. Brian Silverbacks will be there, Ming Chen, who's been on the show a number of times, and Carrie Means, voice actor from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, among other things, but he is, of course, Frylock. And that is a very distinguished and rememberable voice. So we'll be there. I'll be hosting a panel with Ming Chen and Carrie Means, and that starts at 2:30. So that sounds like a lot of fun.
Tickets are only $10. Unless you buy them at the door, then they're $15 at the door.
Yeah, and it's, you can go to the website. It's CusaCon, CusaCon. .com, and there's a bunch of other people going to be there, so I'm just going to read them off real quick before we get going. Oh, by the way, hello, Stephanie.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm here. I had some technical diffs.
Yeah,
but bounced back. I'm here.
You're invited to CusaCon too if you want to come, Steph. You don't have to, but you're invited.
I appreciate that.
So, also appearing at CusaCon, Rosemarie Macchiaro. She looks like a lot of fun. Carrie Means, like I said, a whole bunch of people from The Walking Dead. You have Indiana Cifuentes, Michelle Helm. I can't say these Polish last names. Don Teams, Greg Cruz, Savannah Wehunt Rithmeyer, who looks like she's wearing the Carl's hat. There's a nice picture of the Radio Labyrinth gang. Actor Craig Patterson and Joe Crow, a whole bunch of people, artists, Brian Silverbacks, Jason Flowers, Eddie Price, Alex Ogle, and Drew Garacci, and he's holding up a Thor comic book. But it looks like it's going to be a fun day, so come on out and hang out and meet people and geek out with us. That'll be on Saturday, November 6th, 2 days after my birthday, just so you know.
So you can come out and spank Tim for his birthday?
Yeah, you can spank me, but I'm leaving my pants on. speaking of Halloween, so Halloween, this show is dropping. Most people will be out trick-or-treating on October 30th. It's a Saturday night, so you'll do trunk or treat maybe at your local church or a mall that isn't desolate and scarier than actually Halloween, or people will be coming door to door depending on what state you live in. And
where's Jill planning on leaving those bags of dog shit?
No. What we're doing is our neighborhood, you leave a table out and you put a big, bucket full of candy out. People just come by and you don't have to talk to them. But we are going to put him in his little costume, and I can't wait for you all to see it. It is a lobster. And we're going to go see some of our neighbors. It's going to be fun. It's his first Halloween, and I'm sure he'll remember every second of it, but we will have pictures. So in case he forgets.
Now, of course, you are going to carry him around in a giant, 40-gallon steel pot, right?
Yes, that's what we're going to do. Put him in a steel pot while he writhes and screams. No, he has a red wagon that we're going to strap him into. It's going to be fun.
You're gonna dress up like a stick of butter?
No, I'm gonna dress.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like you and Caitlin don't do well. You do, but are you gonna take them to the rich people's neighborhood?
No, we're in our neighborhood there are none of those. So we'll just go to the neighbors. We're gonna go to a couple people that we know well, and that'll be about it. But it's mostly just for fun, and I can't wait to see him in his cute little outfit. He went swimming today at Aquatot, so it's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Huh? Did you get in there with him?
No, I was at work. I was unable to go swimming with him. You know, it's funny. I couldn't swim until I think I was about 10. I did not know how to swim. I was afraid, deathly afraid of going in the deep end, anything like that. I almost drowned once when I was a kid trying to impress a girl jumping into the pool. And I remember the lifeguard was also our gym coach. Well, he would eventually be our gym teacher in high school, but he saved me.
You were a skinny kid, huh?
West Detter. I don't know about that. I don't recall.
I mean, you'd know, because like I was a fat kid, so we were buoyant. You didn't really have to know how to swim. You just kind of floated.
Yeah.
So you just had to know which way to face.
Yeah. You just...
My problem was that I jumped in, I realized I couldn't swim and that it was over my head. So I started panicking. And once you start panicking, that's, you know, when, oh yeah, you're not going to float if you're panicking. I remember throwing up all this pool water. It was a fun time. I'll never forget it. That was the best 50 cents I ever spent at the Mansfield pool.
Aquatots.
Yeah.
Commercial for Aquatots.
They probably don't have these things at pools anymore, do they? We had a high dive and a low dive, and then a big metal slide that had water going down. I bet you they don't have them anymore for insurance reasons.
They probably don't have any diving boards on most. They took them off for insurance, years ago.
COVID. That's what you should blame everything.
But do they allow horseplay?
Horseplay? Not at my pool. They didn't have that.
Horseplay.
Yes. I remember one time going to the pool and I told a girl that I could see her bush and she got really mad. But, you know, it's like, hey.
at least you're honest. Yeah.
Can we come back to that, though? Where do they come up with the term horseplay?
Oh, man. I don't know. We could Google it. I'll Google it right now.
Because it really doesn't make sense. It's just one of those things that we just all accepted. You know, they told you what horseplay was and you were like, oh, okay, so none of that. But why the hell would they call it horseplay?
Horseplay is vaguely dangerous. Someone could get hurt. And that's why you might hear a teacher, babysitter, or parent yelling, hey, kids, knock off the horseplay. I've never heard that. The origin of the word is a bit vague, although it's known to date from the 1500s, probably from the sense of a horse as a heavy, strong, rough animal. Sounds like sex more than I don't know.
Knock off the horseplay.
Horseplay. Sometimes the people of the village complained about them and their horseplay, saying that they were I'm not going to read usage. We may never know the origins of horseplay. I think it came from the steppes of Mongolia, where the horsemen came out of the hills and killed everybody almost all the way to France.
That does sound kind of like what took place around our community pool.
You had a bunch of Mongolians attack it and sack everyone.
Well, I wouldn't say they were Mongolians, but you know, it got a little chippy out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Pools are dangerous.
Yeah.
It's almost around trying to, you know, jump in and splash women. We are going to have a holiday party, and we do have a date in mind. I was talking with Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro. It'll be a Sunday afternoon. We'll try to record the show, but more importantly, it'll be fun for everybody. We'll have food. We're going to try to get a partner to bring some desserts and stuff, so you guys don't have to bring anything but yourselves. And it'll be a lot of fun. We love hanging out at Atlanta Pizza in Euro. And Mike brought up the idea of possibly screening some, you know, holiday specials or things like that. I think that would be a lot of fun. And since he's not charging for it, we can do it legally without, you know, having to pay stupid fees.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Not charging for the entrant. There's no entry. Right. You know, if you want to buy food, that's on you. And has nothing to do with Disney or PBS. You know, they're showing all the peanut specials on PBS now. That's where we are, interrupting every 10 minutes with, you could win a knapsack with Snoopy on it, and or a pumpkin or Linus or anything like that. Or anyway, I want to say go Braves as we kick off the show. The Braves. We don't know what the series will be at as you're listening or watching this, but they did win the first night, and we are recording right now. I believe the second game starts approximately a half an hour, so we'll see. I'd really be happy if the Braves won, though. That would be really cool. Baseball is always more exciting in the playoffs, and the World Series is exciting. Every pitch is intense. And I still do the old thing I did when I was a little kid, is I switch away when the team I'm not rooting for is at bat. I don't know why that is. But it started back in the late 80s for me, mid 80s.
Didn't our pitcher break his leg, though?
Well, he didn't break. He got hit by a grounder, a very hard grounder, Charlie Morton, and it hit him in the leg and it broke it. So, but he ended up, he struck three batters out before he left the game. So that's pretty cool. But yeah,
you won't be able to come back then.
I don't think so. I think he's done, and he'll have to wait until the end of the season. So without any further ado, we can talk about some of the things that we all watched. I'm really trying to learn how to do Nandor, but it's not easy for me because he enunciates in a different accent. Thank you. I'm working on it very much. Hey, before we really get going, did everybody enjoy the season finale of Only Murders in the Building?
Yeah.
Did you like it, Steph? I haven't talked to you about it yet.
I haven't watched it yet. Okay. I'm a little behind.
And I won't bring it up.
No, it's fine. You guys could talk about it.
All right. We already talked about it.
It was really good. Yeah, it was really good.
We just finished the one where they... the whole silent episode.
Oh, that was so good.
You're a few back.
Yeah, but that show should get an Emmy nomination. So fucking good. And
I've been watching these for the fucking Sopranos. I had to back off of it a little bit. It's if you keep watching it a lot and you're binging it, it is such a dark show. It starts to affect how you behave, you know, and how you think. And so it's like you had to break it up here and there.
Wait till you get to your 15th rewatch. It never ends. Well, then you get to maybe season 5, and you're like, okay, I can slow down a little bit.
We're in the salad days right now.
The salad days, as they say.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm listening to your companion podcast, The Talking Sopranos. After each episode, I'll listen to that. And
isn't that a good podcast? Even if they weren't talking about The Sopranos, those guys are great together. They make fun of each other. We're talking about Michael Imperioli and Steven Sharippa. A lot of things they talk about, I go out and investigate. Like, and it's so funny. Imperioli's so erudite and all these things. He's like, I don't know what that is. That's stupid. You believe in? No, I don't believe in ghosts. And so it's funny. It's the kind of banter back and forth. I ordered the book, so I'm looking forward to getting that signed.
Booking
Sopranos.
Yeah, they put a book out, and if you pre-ordered it, you got a deal, and it was signed, so it'll be coming sometime in November. But it's a great show. I enjoyed it. There's been so many Sopranos podcasts. This one's the best, of course, because of all the guests they have.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying the guests.
Yeah, wait till you get to the Pete Davidson one.
Oh, yeah, stop.
I just really like the Sopranos. Yeah, it's a great show. Now he's all right.
Oh, God.
Has Matt Servito been on there?
Yeah, they had Matt Servito on a long time ago. He was great. The one thing that all four of us did watch, some of us watched it more than once, is a little film called Dune. And here's the cool thing about Dune for me, and I don't know if everyone's like this. Maybe Steph, you are too.
I am.
I saw the original film, or the first film to come out, the David Lynch one that came out in 1984 in theaters. I watched it on HBO or rented it from, the video store or something. And I watched it and I thought, I don't really care about this. I didn't really get it. I'm thinking hard. So I got the book out of the library and I read the book, and the book was more interesting to me, but that was it. Then, flash forward to 2021 and I watch the most recent film, and I really loved it. I thought it was a cool looking film. I liked the story as much as I understood. And after I watched it, I went online and found out, you know, the different houses and what the characters are all about and stuff like that. So you guys, Steph, you said you saw the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. That movie, when it made me sleepy when I was a kid. I didn't understand it. And it was like, yeah, I didn't get it. But this, I was interested in watching it purely because I liked all the actors.
Yeah.
So I assume if they got a cast like that, then it's got to be decent. And I just got sucked in. And for it to be as long as it was, it didn't feel like it at all. At the end, I was like, ah, like, now what?
Yeah, I know.
Cut me off here.
It didn't feel long. It didn't feel boring. There were no parts of it that were boring. And the best part to me about having read the book a long time ago and seen the original film is that I'm able to understand a whole bunch of pop culture references, which we'll talk about. The Nerdist put together, and I don't know when they did this, but we'll go through it a little bit, every major Dune reference in pop culture. So now you get it. If you have never seen any other films and you watch this, you'll get all of those.
Oh, cool.
Jeff and Dustin probably know way more about the overall story in the universe. So why don't you guys bring up some of the things you liked about it?
I was shocked at how much shit George Lucas had stolen from Dune for Star Wars.
Like what? Tatooine?
Yeah, all that stuff. And
You know what? It makes sense now that there's that long skeleton.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a tribute to Dune. You know, on Tatooine, when R2-D2 and C-3PO are walking through the desert, maybe that's Dune. But are there any other examples?
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but just like the whole Imperial Senate and all that stuff, that's kind of like stolen from Dune also. And a lot of that stuff I didn't realize was stolen from Foundation.
What's Foundation? Yeah.
The Isaac Asimov show that just started on
Apple Plus.
Apple TV, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a book before Dune.
Yeah, that book came out like in 1938 or some shit.
Yeah. It was very influential in all of, you know, pretty much sci-fi on this scale. When you see anything on the scale of, you know, entire galaxies being ran by a government or by an organization, that was all started with Foundation. But for me, this one, compared to the 84, it seemed to be like someone who was making it who really loved the source material and really wanted to make it, whereas Lynch didn't want to make that movie to begin with in 84. He was kind of pressured to do it, and he didn't get final cut on it, so it never really for him was a movie that he was proud of. Or even puts in his repertoire anymore. He completely avoids it altogether. This new version is really kind of put out there by somebody who wanted you to understand the whole scope of the story and not get hung up on the look of the story or the feel or the inner monologues of people as much as he was trying to push the whole story forward. And that helped. I mean, it helped a lot. Go ahead.
Gurney Halleck killed Laura Palmer. We know that for a fact. Okay, I get it. All right, maybe Lady Jessica killed Laura Palmer, but we do know that they had really good cups of coffee on that planet. Okay, sorry.
She killed her for the steam, mostly.
That's right.
This was on Twin Dunes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you badmouth the 84 Dune, though, isn't that monkey going to come after you?
The new Dune better than the original.
The sound design in this one was nuts.
Yeah, it was very cool. I watched it with, you know, that you have the Roku app on your phone. You can control, you know, you can put your earbuds in brain fries.
You know what one thing I did like in the 84 movie better than the new one? The blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blue prominent eyes. Yeah, they seemed more realistic in this one. And I liked that, like how kind of fakey they looked in the old one.
Yeah, yeah. I was the same way with the shields. I thought the old shields looked good when they had the geometric, you know, sides to them, as opposed to just a force field around them.
Yeah.
We'll go all over the place, I guess, with this, but I do want to go. There's a BuzzFeed article I want to just kind of go through real quick. Sure. Just, you know, you're looking at, almost 40 years, right? 40 years in between, 37 years in between films. And for us, of course, it feels like, you know, a month.
Because, yeah, you're right. It does.
Right. Because we grew up, when we grew up, there was a black and white era and a color era. And now there's just nothing but color. There's no more black and white, but that's a broad generalization. But, you know, we've been force fed the last 50 years of culture. So, but just talking about the differences in actors, Kyle MacLachlan played Paul Atreides in the, is that how you say it? Atreides? I forget.
Atreides, yeah.
Atreides.
In the original Dune. And now you have Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Chalamet. It's not Chalamet.
Whatever. Chalamet, Chalamet.
Chalamet, Chalamet. Very, very, I think, more appropriate for the role. But again, to my point, when we were kids, Kyle MacLachlan looked old. Timothy Chalamet looks young and fits the role to me. And I thought he did a great job.
He's such a great actor. I love him. He's probably like my favorite young actor.
I hadn't really seen him in anything before this. I mean, most of the things that he's been in weren't really my cup of tea.
You didn't watch Call Me By My Name like 500 times?
No.
What is that? That Peach movie?
I missed that one. And I can't eat peaches anymore either.
It's the coming of age story with him and Armie Hammer, where Armie Hammer teaches him how to bang dudes.
Oh, well, yeah, Armie Hammer, man, he's canceled. Did it have David Allan Coe in the soundtrack?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But there's another one that he does. It's called, I think it's Night something. It's like an 80s type of, I'll look it up. I'll send it to you guys, but it's pretty good. I really liked it a lot.
Oscar Isaac plays his dad, Jared Leto. I mean, Duke Leto. I don't know. I'm not pronouncing things anymore, but he was really good. I don't remember Jürgen Prochnow. Is that how you say it? Prochnow. You know the actor if you saw him. Lady Jessica is played by Rebecca Ferguson. She was really good. In the original, it was Francesca Annis. Francesca Annis. See, I'm butchering all these names. Gurney Halleck in Dune 2021, Josh Brolin. I thought he was amazing. And it looked more believable than Patrick Stewart. But you got to think that this Patrick Stewart role, that and then Life Force, really propelled him into being Picard, right?
Yeah, it kind of put him in that world for casting, for sure.
And of course, everybody loves the beginning of Life Force, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're a teenage boy and you had no idea what to expect besides space vampires, you got about an hour of a Bush.
George W. Bush?
No, different kind of Bush. An 80s Bush. We've got Bush. We've got Bush. Richard Jordan played Duncan Idaho in Dune 1984. He's an actor you saw in a lot of things, a character actor. Jason Momoa plays him in Dune 2021, and I thought he did a great job. I like Momoa.
Really good.
It was way better than any DC movie he's done.
Oh, you're being hard on Aquaman. I like Aquaman.
Okay. You guys should watch him on C. That was pretty good. Season 2 just wrapped up.
Is that that show that's on? The fantasy show?
Yeah, it's set in Pennsylvania too, in the future after the apocalypse.
I became a fan of his on that show that was on IFC, The Red Road. It was only on for like 2 seasons.
Yeah,
and that was really good.
I didn't know he's been around an awful long time, like long before Game of Thrones. He's been an actor.
That's what he was here working on when you used to see him getting his haircut at the barbershop.
He was here for Dragon Con, and he came over to the barbershop to see Steven, the guy that runs it now. Sean Young played Shani. Is that how you say it? Shani in Dune. Shani in 1984. Zendaya plays her in 2021. A cool character. Really not involved very much in this film, but people were complaining about it because people complain about everything. But we'll see a lot more of her in the sequel.
She's a great actress. She really is a great actress. I mean, I don't think she got the show off enough yet.
Right. She is a good actress. And
she's
definitely
more age appropriate for the role, too.
And she's light fare. She's been in so much light fare, you don't really get to see her acting chops, but you can tell she's good.
Oh, Euphoria.
You got to watch Euphoria, man.
Yeah.
I can't watch that.
I watched every single episode.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did the whole time.
Jeff's always looking for those titty sprinkles.
Brad Dourif plays Peter. And this, you know, I love Brad Dourif, but I also like David. I can't. Why are these names so hard? David Dastmalchian.
Polka Dot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Polka Dot. He plays him in 2021. And I really love those characters. It's such a fascinating. Okay, now here's the one. Kenneth McMillan played Baron Vladimir or Conan in the original film. Stellan Skarsgård is fucking great. He's like Captain Kurtz from Apocalypse. Yeah.
Did you got that when he was coming out of the bath.
Yeah.
Put his hand over his bald head. Yeah. He said he wanted him to be, his description for Skarsgård was he's a human rhinoceros.
Yeah.
And so that, so he spent like 7 hours every day getting in that outfit. And he said it was so comfortable that there were days he didn't want to get out of it, which is weird. Really weird.
I loved Javier Bardem as Stilgar. And that character was really cool. And I can't wait to see more of how these characters develop. And I can't wait to see, you know, what goes on in the next film. And that'll come out in October of 2023. So pretty cool, huh? Hopefully it'll be theaters only and we'll have to like go and sit down and have a good time watching a movie.
Would be awesome.
Yes.
By the way, that Chalamet, he was in the first thing I saw him in that was really good. It was called Beautiful Boy. That movie was Steve Carell, where he plays Steve Carell's son and he's a junkie.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
It's based on a true story where he was a writer for Rolling Stone and his kids all strung out. But that was the first time I saw him and he was so good in that. And the other movie I was talking about was Hot Summer Nights. Mm-hmm. You would really like that. It's a fun movie because it's very 80s and it's all neon. And
I'll check that out.
I think you'd like it. And in Lady Bird, if you recall, he was in Lady Bird.
Yes.
And it's going to be Willy Wonka in the Willy Wonka prequel that's coming out.
I'll deal with it. If he's doing it, then I don't think he's going to do it stupid.
No, I think he'll do good. He's a good actor.
Who's directing it?
I don't know. It's that's not the important.
Well, I know that, but that's the important thing is who's the director. Doing very well on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it has a 91 audience score, and the audience score is the only one that matters, really, and most times. And that means a lot of people like it. Now, we're not the kind of show that's going to break apart every single scene and talk about all of this and that and what was wrong with it. And then that if we like it, we like it. And if we don't, we don't. But I'm going to give Jeff and Dustin some time to talk about a little more if you want to, like some things that you enjoyed and stuff from, you know, if you want to be deep divers, go ahead.
Well, the one thing that we didn't get to mention in the cast was Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was amazing as Ravan Harkonnen. Now the guy that played him originally, Paul Smith, he's a character actor I'd seen in a few things, in the 80s, but man, Batista really, I mean, this is probably for his look and his acting style, this was probably the best role I've ever seen him in. And with just without saying a word, you knew that he was in command of that army and vicious. So I really like that. Besides that, the biggest thing for this new film that blew me away was the sound design was amazing. I mean, they went through and, you know, started off with the all the throat singing that's throughout the whole thing. And they divide every house has their own language. And those languages are based on, human languages, but ones that have since gone extinct and they've kind of brought them back. But I thought that was really a cool way to kind of tie the universe together and define each house. It broke everybody up.
Speaking of sound, the voice that Paul uses is the Force, basically.
Yeah. And it's almost a collective of the people, other people who have the voice. It's like he draws from all of them to create his voice, which was weird when you heard the other people use it. It was basically just their voice delayed. But with him, he brought in like the mother voice. He also brought in her teacher's voice. And it was really cool how they built him up as being the chosen one without handing it to you so much like they did in the 84 version.
Right.
Plus using the correct terminology. They didn't use, you know, you never heard Muad'Dib because that was a different pronunciation of who he was. And you never heard the Kwisatz Haderach either, which was, you know, different from the book.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
just the name, the names that that Paul Atreides, you know, once he joins the Fremen, he takes the Fremen name and mm-hmm. leaves the Atreides name behind him.
Now, how many books are there?
Oh, 10.
There's a bunch. Yeah.
Ten. Yeah. It goes all, and this is only half of the first book, almost right in the dead center of the first book. It stops.
So theoretically, there could be just a ton of movies and TV shows.
Yeah. No, yes and no. I mean, yes, I think for the first three books, you could probably get TV shows and movies out of. After you get above the third book, it gets so weird that it would be very, very hard to create a linear story with the books. I mean, the last thing that it gets to in the books, and it's not really spoiling anything, but it goes up to the Emperor Dune, when basically it merges a human with a sandworm to other species, to this weird godlike thing. I mean, it's so weird that I don't think they could make a commercial thing out of it, but it'd be neat to see them try to get there anyway.
All right, cool. Anything else? I want to go through some of these pop culture references that I finally will understand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, shoot.
And we already talked about Star Wars, so but we'll kind of go in a semi-chronological order here. The movie Phantasm, 1979 horror film that my mom let me see with another person when I was eight. No, I was nine. I saw it in the theater. There's a few references to Dune in it, including a bar named Dune. And a scene in which the protagonist, Mike, puts his hand in a black box that inflicts pain as part of a test. And that kind of mimics the sequence in the opening of Dune. And by the way, that
in Flash Gordon, too.
Yeah, that was the put his hand in the stump. And by the way, the link to this will be in the show notes. It's from Nerdist.com. And I'm only going to mention things that, you know, we would all know. Beetlejuice, the sandworms on Arrakis sort of appear in Beetlejuice. And it's you know, where the Maitlands go after they die. And it's a sand planet with worms on it. So obviously that's their Moonrise Kingdom, the 2012 Wes Anderson film. They have a map on the back of a coat that is from David Lynch's Dune.
Oh, what? I never realized that. I've still watched that movie a few times.
Yep. Ready Player One. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Yeah. Nod to Dune in Spielberg's movie. The planet Arrakis is mentioned in a virtual destination that exists in the Oasis. The Simpsons have done it a bunch of times. Animated covers for Dune books appear in one episode. Krusty the Clown writes a book called The Sands of Space that is modeled after the work. Lisa eats spicy food and says, "I can see through time," which I never knew what that meant. Now I know. Futurama, tons and tons, including an episode where Taylor tries to sell Fry a still suit. Star Trek contains references to Dune. In Voyager, Arrakis Prime is used as a planet the ship Surgeon has visited. The same show also names Giedi Prime in another episode. The Next Generation mentions a planet called Caldonia that shares a physical likeness to Caladan, the homeworld of the House Atreides. So that's pretty cool that everything kind of throws back. Adventure Time takes place in an underground sand city with worms. The Venture Brothers, which is a show that I'm currently rewatching, they mention it a lot. There's a direct call out in the season 7 opener, The High Cost of Living, when Henchman 21 compares Professor Von Helping's appearance to Paul Atreides and the Monarchs to Peter DeVries. I just watched that one the other night. That's a very funny episode because the Monarch is looking to arch new people instead of Dr. Venture. And it's this professor named Von Helping. And you just have to watch it. I'm not going to ruin it, but it's a lot of fun. And there's just so many. So it's this, the books and the films, pervasive. South Park had a really good one too. My favorite out of all these, and this is the one I should have brought up at the beginning though, was South Park. Now they've done it twice. He Who Controls the Stuffing Controls Thanksgiving. But the one with Tom Brady, where they're all trying to get his poop. The spice melange. Yeah. It's got the spice. I never knew what that meant. And you know, in it's not Stan, but Kyle's laying in bed with his eyes are blue, and then he sees all these things floating in the air. Never knew what that was from. I knew that I knew Spice was a reference, but I didn't know any of that other shit. So, yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so, I never picked up on any of that stuff.
So check out this link in the show notes, and you'll be surprised. There's just so much. Even in the Fatboy Slim Weapon of Choice video, walk without rhythm and it won't attract the worm. I mean, so much. So you'll enjoy reading that if you're like me. All right. So if there's nothing else to talk about with Dune, I just say we'll take a break, come back and talk about some TV shows that we all like, and we'll wrap this puppy up. Huh? What do you say? Hey, you hungry? I got an idea for you. Why don't you go to Atlanta Pizza in Euro? That's Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. That's right. They have delicious pizza and delicious Euros. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done a couple of shows there. We've done a couple of meet and greets there. In fact, we're planning on going back sometime in November or sometime in the fall to do another like live recording. And more on that when we know more about it. But first things first, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza and Euro. They have brand new options for you. They have gluten-free crusts, vegan cheese, and as always, they have a lot of great local craft beers at reasonable prices. Now, Steph, don't they have a food truck?
They do have a food truck, and we all want to catch a ride in this food truck, like big time. Yeah. And I think they've done a few things so far that went very well, he said. Mm-hmm. And just to go back, though, the craft beer thing that you were talking about, I had some really good beer the last time I was there. I was like, okay. I think it was Tropicalia or something. I'd never had it before. And now that's like one of my favorite beers. So they have,
hell yeah.
I think that's what it was, but they have really great beers there. And Mike, he likes to bring you around the little taster. Let's take a little sip. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You know, maybe you don't know. He'll like, here, take a sip and then you can get it if you want to. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about them.
I don't mind a little beer every now and then, a good tasty brew to go with your pizza. And hey, keep it in the family.
Just had a pizza.
Yeah, Dustin, let's keep it in the family. I was just about to say that. Now, someone in your family works there.
Yeah, my oldest son, Rylan, he's a server there. So when you walk in and you see a 6'5" dude come up and ask you what you want to eat, that's my son. He enjoys it. He loves the people there. It's a great atmosphere. You know, they've had long existing customers that come in there, you know, all the time. It's like a family. It's kind of like a cheer situation. He loves working there.
And he's bringing home free pizzas too, right?
Yeah, that's a perk from time to time. But, yes.
Mike Hall has been a supporter of Radio Labyrinth for a very long time, and we thank him for that. Mike and his lovely wife have always supported us, and couldn't find a nicer couple. And we would like everybody to patronize the restaurant, which is in Conyers, and maybe Dustin will be there. How about that? It's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com if you want to find out more about it. Look at the menu. And try it. I mean, it's good pizza. So
it's great pizza. Killer crust, killer cheese. He has great sauce. I mean, I haven't tried the vegan pizza yet, which I don't know. You know, I'm sure that Mike is going to make it wonderful,
right?
No matter what it is.
Does it have pepperoni on it?
No.
Oh.
It's vegan.
Oh.
they make vegan pepperoni.
I'm sure it's delicious. Sure, vegan pepperoni is delicious, but now on a vegan, can't you use Beyond Meat? That is sort of like meat, but it isn't.
There's a lot more alternatives than there used to be, that's for sure.
You can use the Impossible Bat.
Don't bring
Mike does not put bat in his pizza.
Mike does not want people thinking that he puts Impossible Bat in his pizza. So please, I mean, not even real bat, let alone Impossible Bat. Check out Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They're on Facebook, and the links are all here for you to click on and to go check it out. That's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
And we're back.
We are back. Well, we're going to do a couple of a couple of news stories. There's something, you know, we're going to go back into the well here and talk about some old pop culture. 29 years ago today, this happened 29 years ago today, this week, in 1992, Tipper Gore admitted that she covers the clock on her VCR because she doesn't like to watch it blink. Can you imagine covering up your VCR with a piece of tape because you don't like to watch the clock blink 12?
What do you think? What would Al say?
Well, Al was busy running for president, vice president. Bill Clinton and I were on the campaign trail, and I was getting ready for my debate with Ross Perot and Dan Quayle. Now, that debate was very, very important in order for me to win and for Bill Clinton to win. But Tipper kept calling and calling and calling, saying, how do you set the VCR? And I said, ask our daughter if she's going to end up writing for Futurama. And she couldn't figure it out either. So I sent a Secret Service agent to the house. She wouldn't let him in because he had a bunch of Prince records, and she didn't like to hear all those nasty swear words or any kind of references to girls masturbating with a magazine. And that's why Bill Clinton and I have more to offer than Ross Perot and that old man, that crazy old man that I had a debate. We didn't know who he was or where he was.
So who came up with the idea for the tape?
I invented the tape. I invented the VCR. Bill Clinton and I put together a team to invent the Blinkless VCR. And you would put it in there, and gosh darn it, it wouldn't blink. And then by the time that came out, why RCA had put out their DVD player, and why we invested all this money. That's why we had to sell the Lincoln bedroom to China. Not to mention all of our missile secrets. Well, I'm speaking too much. Maybe we ought to time travel back to 2021 where I'm not relevant. We need a jingle for that, but it's not always going to be 29 years ago today this week. It may be 16 years ago today this week.
But no matter when it is, it's never going to be within the last few years.
No. Now, 78 years ago today, this week, Dean Harlow gave Frank Sinatra a hand job. I don't even know if that's possible. All right, so some real news. Raised by Wolves, the show that we all dug last year at the beginning of the pandemic. Season 2 comes out in early 2022, and I cannot wait to catch up with mother and father and all those kids. Well, I'm the ones that lived. And the adventures on that second Earth planet. That was a great show. I'm going to rewatch the season one so I can get back into it.
Do you think that'll happen in Raised by Wolves? Like one of the kids will say to one of the other ones, did your mother ever have any kids that lived?
I hope so. Even that's Dune-ish because it has the giant worm on the sand planet.
That's Foundation too.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool how they shot this whole second season without telling anybody and then announced it on the opening of Dune. That was pretty smart marketing.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen the show Raised by Wolves, do yourself a favor. It's on HBO Max. Go check it out. So there's going to be this Joan Rivers biopic starring Catherine Hahn. Yeah. They it's called The Comeback Girl. And I guess they're not doing it. And I don't know why.
So Sarah Silverman bitched.
No. They couldn't get the licensing. I mean, if you read the article, that literally the first line is the licensing did not come through. And then after that, it just goes into all the he said, she said stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that doesn't matter.
Right.
So they couldn't get licensing to use her likeness and image and all that.
Yeah, they wouldn't let it go through. And that happens on 95% of these that they try to make. I mean, it's very common in trying to produce a show, especially based on someone's, you know, a real person. You have to get all that approval. And if it's not there, I think it was just premature that they let out they were going to make the show.
Yeah. How about in the future, we talk about it when you've got all the contracts signed, and then it'll be news. Not, I heard somebody said that Sarah Silverman didn't want to do it. So now it's going
to Yeah. They just wanted press for Sarah Silverman. That was it.
Yeah, but Catherine Hahn, good actress. I like to see her in more stuff.
She's a good actress. I love Sarah Silverman, but she couldn't play that part.
She could have 15 years ago, but not now. I mean, I always thought she looked like a young Joan. If you see pictures of Joan Rivers from when she was young, she and Sarah Silverman kind of look a little bit alike, you know, when Sarah Silverman was younger too. But I don't know. She might have been able to pull it off. Why do we need a movie about Joan Rivers? Just go watch Joan Rivers on YouTube. She had kind of a private life outside of being, you know, a comedian and the woman that made fun of people on the red carpet. I miss that. I miss that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I miss that so much.
Never be able to do it now. But my God, if some of the people that are on the red carpets these days, Joan Rivers would have a field day.
But you can't. You got to be nice. You got to be nice, which is okay. You know, making fun of celebrities have feelings too. You know, you don't want to make fun of people. Let's see. Squidbillies, we already talked about. That comes back on November 7th, the same night as Joe Pera. And we are trying to get our you know, previous guest and friend Dave Willis on to talk about Squidbillies, but I have to wait because there's some special stuff going on. Obviously, they had to replace the, you know, what's his name? Stu Hansen. Was that his real name? Unknown Henson.
Unknown Henson. Yeah.
Because for some reason, he didn't like Dolly Parton. Well, he got fired and they have someone else doing early. So we'll find out who that is when the show debuts, and hopefully not before, because I want to see it. You know, I want to be surprised like everybody else. Chappelle news. The latest in the Chappelle Netflix drama is that Chappelle is funny. And that's the news.
Yep.
Anything else besides that is not news.
Or worthy of discussion. Hot take.
Huh?
I said that's the hot take.
Yeah, my hot take is Dave Chappelle is funny, and that's it. That's all you need to know. But you know what? The other part of that is if you don't think he's funny, then you don't have to watch it. But that's it. That's pretty much it. And Jeff,
wow.
The fact that there's so much controversy, though, killed the distribution deals that he had for this documentary that he did.
Uh-huh. He's funny.
Oh, yeah. But mm-hmm. because of all the controversy, nobody wanted to distribute this film. So now he's bringing it around like Kevin Smith.
Roadshow.
Showing the movie. Yeah, showing the movie and doing stand-up in State Farm Arena.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's going to like 10 cities to show this movie around.
Well, if you think Dave Chappelle's funny and you want to see his documentary, you'll be able to see it at State Farm Arena.
Yeah, tickets go on sale now.
Yeah, I won't be able to afford that, but I think Dave Chappelle's funny. Another thing in the news right now, LeBron James didn't like the ending of Squid Games. The director says, I appreciate that he watched it.
Yeah,
he wanted there to be some three-pointers in that last game.
Yeah, I don't know why he was disappointed in it. I don't care. I'm just saying that's the news. That's what's all over Twitter today is LeBron James didn't. And my point is that he didn't like it, but the director appreciated that he watched it and said the director also added that if he wants, he can make his own Squid Games and have any ending he likes.
I feel like you shove Bugs Bunny in there with it.
What? I feel like you could do this, Tim. Like you could do an entire show about sensational headlines,
mm-hmm.
condense them into take out all of the garbage, and you could just call it Next Story.
Okay, there we go. Next Story. Add that. Jeff, put that in there as a category for next week. Jamie, put that up.
You just say you put it into a whatever nice whatever. Next Story.
Next Story.
Yeah, we're going to have one of those bells.
We don't care about all the hyperbole. We don't care about all the opinions. We don't care about any of that crap.
Right. What, Dustin?
No, just put a bell in there and be like, Next Story, ding. Just go on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like ETI. Right.
And we can just do real quick what we watched. Guillermo, I'm going to keep working on Nandor's voice. I'll go first, though. I watched What We Do in the Shadows. We watched the first episode of The Sinner. We're going to watch the second one tomorrow night. I like the fact that The Sinner is back on track. The first episode of the new season was really good, and it's, you know, completely... I didn't like the third season, but this season I like so far.
All right, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. If you say it's better, I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's like true to form from the first season, even. We both okay. like it. Let's see. I actually watched Saturday Night Live because Caitlin wanted to watch it. She likes Jason Sudeikis and she likes, you know, the show that Jeff says I can't watch anymore.
You should have told her you're not allowed to enjoy the many talents of Mr. Jason Sudeikis any longer.
Yeah, but there were some funny sketches and produced bits. My favorite one was Melon, like the new daytime show.
That was great. Melon.
Yeah. Brought to you by Peyronie's disease. Oh, no. Not medicine. Yeah, just the disease. Peyronie's disease. There was a lot of funny stuff. I like the cold open with the old Joe Biden showed up to make fun of the new Joe Biden. I didn't understand the third. Who was the third guy, Jeff?
That was the other guy that played Joe Biden.
Oh, who played him before the new guy. I don't pay any attention to it, but I always loved Jason Sudeikis' Biden. Where it was like, yeah, hey, come on, let's party. That was funny. And of course, I'm still watching the Venture Brothers. I'm now on season 7. There's a funny thing, though, in season 6. season six was probably made over the course of a couple of years, like 2014, 2015. It was out in 2016. Dr. Venture's brother, if you guys are familiar with the show, Dr. Venture had a twin embedded in his body that became Jonas Venture Jr. He was a lot smarter, actually a good scientist of money. He dies and the Venture family get to move into his big high rise in New York, which opens up a whole new universe of, you know, fake heroes. All these shows now, are they doing the anti-hero or making fun of the superhero genre? That's been done for a long time on the Venture Brothers. They have a parody of Spider-Man, of the Fantastic Four, of a whole bunch of characters. And there's all these parties at like the rich, fancy evildoers, the Guild of Calamitous Intent guys, like these really bad guys, but they're wealthy. And at all the parties, you see a certain New Yorker who ended up becoming president. And it's so weird because it's the last time, and I'm not going to go further on this, but it's the last time you see him in a media related thing where he's not portrayed as horrible, other than he's at a party filled with, you know, bad guys. It's just kind of funny to see Trump in the background of all those things. And I started the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood audiobook, and I'm having a difficult time. Does she do the whole book?
Yep.
All right. I'm sure I'll get used to it, but her reading the guys at the beginning in the office scene is really distracting me, but I'll force myself to keep it. I like her. I just kind of weird having her read it. Jeff, since you have a thousand things, why don't you go next?
I watched the first three episodes of Invasion, that new Sam Neill show on Apple TV.
Good, bad.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn.
It's nothing to write home about. Yeah. I'll stick with it. I want to see what's going on. But I watched that. I watched the first three of season two, Lock and Key on Netflix. Watched all the Walking Deads. Watched the first two Day of the Deads on Sci-Fi. That's that new zombie show with the George Romero ties. Watched the first three episodes of Chucky.
I noped after one.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't want okay.
Chucky's fun. I like Chucky, and the rest of the people can fuck off as far as I'm concerned. But
yeah,
Brad Dourif doing Chucky, I'll stick with it just for that. Curb Your Enthusiasm came back.
That was funny as shit. Did everybody else?
Oh, yeah.
It? Yeah. I love Albert Brooks.
Yeah, and so they brought Albert Brooks on instead of his brother. So I thought that was pretty cool.
The fact that he's a COVID hoarder.
He's a COVID hoarder.
I started listening to a couple episodes of Last Podcast on the Left. They're doing the Carla Homolka, Brett, Paul Bernardo.
Oh, ooh, they're doing that one? Yeah. I've listened to that on like five different podcasts, but I would love to hear their take on it.
Yeah, they've done two episodes so far on it.
Those bastards. They're basically the natural born killers.
Yeah. And she got out of jail too.
Oh, that bitch. She's living another she's got a kid. Yeah. Well, actually, I think that
a lot of children.
The guy's left her now.
Yeah.
The lawyer or whatever. So she's not with him anymore. And her kids don't speak to her anymore either. I guess probably because she was going to kill him.
It always does it.
I read that book a long time ago, though, that Invisible Darkness. That would turn me on to them originally.
It's just a savage story. It's sad. Yeah,
fucked up story. And you know, Last Podcast on the Left handles that kind of shit really well.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you told me that. I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah, check those out. They're only on Spotify now.
What's your staff pick?
Real quick though, Storage Wars came back and Barry Weiss is back.
Oh wow. Nice. All right, cool.
Barry, yeah. So these first two episodes, they kind of did like a talk show where Barry was the host and kind of reintroduced all the characters, you know, like Brandy and the gambler guy and all that. But
Brandy's still on, but not the douchebag ex-husband. Yeah,
no, she's divorced from him now.
Good. He was a douche.
Yeah. But next week the auction start and Barry's going to be there for the whole season and everything now.
Cool.
Which is awesome. Cause that was why I stopped watching Storage Wars, cause Barry left. That was like 7 years ago, but now he's back.
Are you going to start watching it again?
Yeah.
Yep.
My staff pick actually aired last night, but I'm sure you can watch it on demand. Comedy Central, Roy Wood Jr. Imperfect Messenger. Is his new stand-up special, and we talked to him briefly about it a couple weeks ago.
Funny?
I bet it'll be funny.
Cool.
Hey, if you know Artie Lang, by the way, I'm skipping ahead, but if you know Artie Lang, tell him to come on our show. Go ahead, Dustin.
I messaged him on Instagram. I don't know if he'll get back to me or not.
I don't really know you guys.
Even if I did, I don't remember you.
I bet he knows who the regular guys were, though.
That's my Artie Lang impression. Go ahead.
Well, mine's quick. We already went over Dune, which I did watch twice. Invasion, watched the first two of those. I'm liking it as well, Jeff. I finally got a chance to watch Saw Spiral.
What did you think of that?
Yeah, I didn't really. I was thinking the whole time it would be Samuel Jackson would be the dude at the end.
Yeah.
Spoilers, it wasn't. But I was okay. I mean, it was, I guess if it was a throwback to some
cool kills, right?
Yeah. I mean, the kills were some cool and the deaths. Fact that, yeah, the very first death was probably my favorite because it was McMurray from Letterkenny.
Yeah, McMurray's a piece of shit.
That and he went in a pretty bad way with that subway train too.
Yeah.
It was for what it was okay. But I mean, Chris Rock was just okay. I mean, anybody I think could have played in that role and had the same effect. I watched Theo Vaughn's new special on Netflix called Regular People. And it is Theo Vaughn. So even though it's a new special, he still uses about 12 to 13 minutes of old material in his new special, which just still cracks me up. He goes back to that. But it's real funny. Funniest line from the whole thing was that he was talking about a friend of his that was ginger. He said, "Excuse me, ginger." started being fucking hilarious. Anyway, guy's a nut. It's on Netflix now. And my staff pick, like you mentioned, is Artie Lang's Halfway House podcast returns on the 1st. So that'll be starting next Monday. We should start getting some of those. He says regularly, but it's Artie. So we'll see.
And is he going to do free and then do like Patreon kind of thing? Or
I think these are supposed to all be free. Yep. I think what it is he's probably got himself a few sponsors lined up before he went out so he could do it that way and get more traction.
Steph?
I watched the first two of Succession. I think it's pretty good. I don't feel like it's lost anything. It's just as mean as their insults, the way they tear each other apart, and they still love each other in some billionaire-ish evil way. they all seem to still love each other. So I'm digging Succession. Curb, like we said, Curb was so freaking funny. You're when Larry walked into that glass door, and then whenever Lucy Liu was treating him like an old man when they were in the car and she kissed him on top of his forehead, I lost it. I couldn't even handle it. And and whenever he spilled the wine when she plopped.
She's just a plopper.
Susie plopped. And I mean, he looks so old and pitiful when he's... So anyway, Curb, I think, is very funny. And I've been watching this Korean action show called My Name. Really good. It's like, it's a Korean, it's about this chick and her dad was in the Korean mafia, whatever the hell. And he gets killed. And so she goes on this whole revenge tip and his ex-partner coaches her up, trains her. She's just like a little, he's like, you could never beat anybody with your strength, obviously, because you're a tiny woman. He teaches her all the pressure points, how you fuck people up with pressure points and shit. So it's a lot like, so then they think it's a cop that killed her dad. So she joins a police force, like undercover, feeding shit to the old guy, her dad's partner about what the cops are doing behind his back. But then also trying to find out who killed her dad. So it's kind of like The Departed meets Korean Kill Departed. Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's a lot like that. And the fight sequences are fucking amazing. All of the fight sequences are so choreographed, so tight. So I highly recommend My Name. And my pick is it's a Wondery podcast. It just finished. And I just found it the other day and binged almost all of it. I've got like one episode left. And it's one of those, it's a story where they do it so well. It's called Suspect. And it is about this this girl back in 2008. She was murdered at a Halloween party in her building. And her name was Aparna Janaga. And
Tim Kono.
Now, anyway, it's the story of, you know, they pick one guy. They think he did it because he has priors and all this other stuff. But then the other guy, he seems more like the one who did it. And they just take you through it. They do such a good job with giving you the interviews, and you can just blast right through this. It's one of those where you can just binge. You want to listen to the next one and the next one and the next one, but it's called Suspect.
Cool.
Before we get to View Snooze, we have to say goodbye to James Michael Tyler, who played Gunther on Friends. He was only 59 years old when he died of Jeff.
Cancer, sadly.
And also surprisingly, we lost Peter Scolari at 66 years old. Now, he's probably best known for the two series he was on, Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks and then Newhart. But he's done a ton of acting. Most recently, I think the last thing I saw him in was Evil, where he played the Monsignor, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a funny guy, a talented actor. And I don't know, maybe he and Tom Hanks are friends. I don't know. But
he was the best part of Girls. Whenever he was on
Girls. Yeah.
He would show up as her dad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Rest in peace.
Hello, America. Once again, it's time for your favorite pastime. Which one will they choose? Play along with this week's edition of Views or Snooze. Take it away, Jeff.
All right, it's time for Views or Snooze.
All right, Views or Snooze. Star Trek Prodigy. This is the new animated show, Paramount Plus, with Captain Janeway doing the voice.
Snooze.
That's a quick snooze.
Yeah, I'm going to say snooze.
The last animated special, the last animated series was really good. The Below Decks.
No thanks.
All right.
I'll give it a view. The previews look really good.
Yeah, I think so too. And I liked Janeway.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, snooze, big snooze.
Number two, Army of Thieves. This is that follow up to the what was it, Day of the Dead, or
yeah, the prequel? Yeah, the prequel to the Army of the Dead. Yeah,
Army of the Dead. Yeah, it's on Netflix this week.
Yeah, I think it follows the little guy that he has break the vault open. It's supposed to be his crew and how he started. I'll view it.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
The Views.
Views.
Yeah. Yeah, Views. And the final season with Jodie Whittaker on Doctor Who starts.
Dr. Snooze.
And no, I've only watched one episode with her in it. It was the first one.
Snooze.
I mean, I don't know how to not watch shows that I watch regularly, so I'll watch it, but I'm looking forward to when she's gone and they bring a new Doctor in. They're going to be looking for a new Doctor and a new James Bond at the same time, so that ought to be interesting.
Can they get some new companions?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will.
I like the dynamic of there being one companion and one Doctor, but that ain't ever going
to happen. That's what a lot of people are bitching about now, because they shoehorned in like five different companions with Jodie Whittaker because...
Yeah, you know, they had to check all the equity boxes. Now... They don't have to do that. They can just do a story.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who they are or what they're like. Just do a story.
I'm going to use it, but everybody else is snoozing it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. That was Use or Snooze. We need to start following up on ourselves with that. Before we wrap up, I want to say thanks again to Joe Pera for coming on our show this week on Radio Labyrinth Presents. And Steph, tell us what's going on with Barkville Dog Rescue.
Big news. We are trying to raise the money to have our own facility. You know, right now we are just foster only. And if we don't have enough fosters, sometimes dogs end up in boarding, which we hate. It's not very helpful to the dog to get them adopted when you have take them right from the shelter and put them in a boarding facility. So we are trying to have our own place where we could kind of do a lot of the things that we would do at home, but you know, we have a different kind of setting. So we're trying to raise the money for that. And I don't know, Tim, would you to win a 5-day, 4-night, all expenses paid Caribbean vacation for two?
Yeah.
Well, all you got to do is go to www.raisethewoof.charityraffles.org and you buy your raffle ticket. They're $20 a piece and you have a chance to win.
That's awesome.
So all the proceeds that we get from the raffle tickets are going towards our hopes to build this place. And even if you don't want the vacation, you know, you don't want to get the COVID or whatever, you're worried about, you're going to, you know, what I have, you can take $1,500 in cash. So we gave you the choice. You can have one or the other. And it's only $20.
Malmstrom, you can choose to take $1,500 instead of going on your Caribbean vacation when you win.
All right.
You know, Malmstrom, he does have it, but it, and you don't even have to win the grand prize. I mean, the second prize, $1,000 Best Buy gift card or $700 cash. Third prize is a $500 Best Buy gift card or $300 cash. Fourth prize is $250 Best Buy gift card or $150 cash. And the eighth prize is whatever, 5 through 8 is $50, blah, 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 and $30. Otherwise, if you spend $20, you have a chance to win more.
Yeah.
So, and you can help us save more lives and stuff. We had a meeting at the state capitol last Wednesday. It was kind of a big deal with the Marty Kemp's assistant, and we talked to her and another lady, and we had told them all about how fucked up everything is, and they wrote it all down and they sent us more. So hopefully maybe we'll get some changes made. I don't know, but I'd never been to the capitol before. It's pretty cool in there.
You get to meet Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia.
No, but in the room that we met in was right across the hall from his office.
Well, I was in there trying to figure out how to write a nasty tweet to the people who run Major League Baseball.
Like, why do you want to bring darkness on the light?
I don't want to bring dark. I want to save all these dogs. So make sure you go to bartville.rescue.orange.
Thank you so much, Governor Kemp. We appreciate your help.
These puppies need everything that they can get. We go dogs. Sick them.
Anyway, so if you want to donate, foster, or adopt, go to www.barkvilledogrescue.org. Or if you want to buy a raffle ticket, go to raisethewoof.charityraffles.org. And Barry got adopted. Yay, Barry.
Yay, Barry.
Congratulations to Barry. He's now in a new home where he'll be fed steak for dinner every single night.
I think he is getting fed steak. The picture of him, of the guy holding him, he's like got his schlong like all wrapped up on him. So you know it's love if he doesn't even care. Barry's schlong's laying all over his arm.
Your dog's got testicles. You can drag them all over the furniture. Don't matter because you're just showing a dog you love him. Your dog's got testicles. It's all right.
It's not all right, Governor Kemp. We're telling people to not to get them neutered.
Do what I've always done. Is
if you get them like some sort of vasectomy.
After you're done eating the bread, you keep the little twist tie and you put it on the top of their red rocket and you never have a litter of
puppies. Oh, no.
Anyway, go dogs. I can get far worse, you know that, and I should probably stop doing that. All right, guys. Steph, anything else?
Because I don't want to
cut you short. All right. Don't shop, adopt, and do what Steph says, because you would like to go to the Caribbean, wouldn't you? I would.
You would, yeah. Or you get $1,500. Either way, no skin off our backs. We don't care. Take either one.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Until that time, please remember to keep it canon. Here at Radio Labyrinth, we are supported by Patreon. That's right. And our top Patreon donors are called producers, and we have a slew of them, and I want to read their names and thank them right now because we haven't done that in a while. First of all, Chris Chandler, thank you very much. And if you guys want to weigh in on any of these people, please jump in.
This isn't the former quarterback, right, for the Falcons. It's not that Chris Chandler.
No, it's not Crystal Chandelier. It is not Crystal Chandelier. But it is Chris Chandler. It's also not WSB's Chris Chandler. It's a different Chris Chandler. There's lots of Chris Chandlers, as it turns out.
Our Patreon's the best Chris Chandler.
It is the best.
Absolutely. And the best Brett Perkins in the country is also one of our Patreon members.
Big buttery Brett.
Big buttery Brett. Butter him up. Todd Ellis, thank you very much for donating. Roby Neely, who you can hear from time to time on the always consistent Mike TV podcast, which is on our channel, hosted by Lisa Krause and Dean. Yeah.
And shout out to Roby too, because he was just in a car accident. He's okay.
I saw that.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That sucks. But no, Dean and Lisa do a good job when they actually do the show, and Roby is a good contributor to that show. So check it out. If you've never listened, go through our little back archive, and they do really, 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 really deep dives. Another Patreon producer, Tim Slayton, thank you very much. Yeah. Brian Smith, who he and his fiance are getting married in October on Halloween, and is a Halloween themed wedding. I hope I get to go. But if not, I wish them the best. They're great, great peeps, and they're big supporters of Dragon Con. Usually see them down there. Didn't get to this year. John Sutherland, a great dude. We've known him for quite a while. Been a supporter for a very long time. John, thank you very much. He got me a real cool gift one year. I drew a Kiss drawing for him, and he got it framed or put in glass. It was really cool.
Oh, he was nice. Great in MASH too.
Yes, he was. Really good in MASH. Mike D. Thank you, Mike D. We've always said it that way. Emily Hine Warren, who will be joining us because she donated to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the WSB Carathon. And one of the packages was you get to sit in and watch us do Radio Labyrinth on Zoom. So she'll be doing that very soon.
And because she's Emily Hine Warren.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Buck Monterey, want to thank you very much. Another longtime producer.
I always feel like he played Archie on All in the Family.
You think? Matt Carter, thank you very much. Matt Carter, another longtime sponsor and also
a sweet, 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 wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Mike Hall, who we mentioned, he's also a sponsor. And longtime donor, Eric Malmstrom. He's always funny on social media and supports us and interacts with us. And last but not least, Mr. Chad Shepard, who gave us this, the Red Box Troll, another longtime donor, former intern of mine, coworker, really nice
chap.
And he's awesome. And there we go. Yeah, look at that pop out like a green penis. if you'd like to be a Patreon member, we have different levels, and those levels change from time to time. But what's always consistent is if you come in as a producer, that's $25 a month. You off the bat, you get to pick one of our T-shirts. So now would be a good time because in a couple of weeks, well, while you're watching this, odds are we're going to have a new T-shirt or something that you want, and those links will all be made available to you. So thank you guys, and we appreciate it very much.
Please hang up and try again.